welcome to the Creative Pen Podcast. I'm Joanna Penn, thriller author and professional speaker, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options and marketing ideas for your book. You can find the episode show notes, your free Author 2.0 blueprint and lots more information at thecreativepen.com. And that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hello, creatives. I'm Joanna Penn, and this is episode number 272 of the podcast, and it is the 6th of June 2016 as I record this. So today I have an in-depth conversation with Mark Dawson about Facebook advertising for authors, which is fascinating as we talk about the latest developments in video, my own attempts at ads, and Mark gives me some constructive criticism, let's call it that. And if you're listening to this before the 12th of June 2016, you can check out Mark's course at thecreativepen.com/Facebook fun, and it's only open for a week. But if you would like to see a demo, because of course in this podcast interview we're only going to talk about Facebook advertising and you can't actually see anything, but you can join us for a demo and more detail, in-depth stuff at a free webinar this Thursday, 9th of June at 3 p.m. US Eastern, 8 p.m. UK, and you can access that at thecreativepen.com/Facebook2. That's the number two. Facebook 2. So my update for this week, the mindset book is with beta readers, editor, and so far the balance is that it seems to be okay between being gentle with vulnerable creatives and hardcore motivation. I always get that. I always find that difficult. I probably find that difficult with myself as much as with anybody else. You know, we have to nurture our inner creative, but also we have to keep ourselves motivated. And, you know, we can go, oh, you know, look after yourself and then sit down and do the blooming writing. So you kind of need to keep the balance between those two things. So anyway, I'm happy with the response so far. So that will definitely be out late June, early July. And I've also started my screenplay adaptation. Which is so funny because, of course, when you have the book in your head, like you know what your book is. So I'm doing Deviance, which is the third in my London Psychic series. So it's basically a murder mystery, and there's it's a murder thriller, crime thriller, and it opens with the body, and then the kind of, you know, can Jamie stop the bad guy? So basically I know how that works, and then you go to adapt it, and of course you realize with a screenplay it has to be in present tense. I mean, they don't really like flashbacks. You can do them, but not too often. But you can do nothing in a character's head, no backstory. So I'm reading this first chapter going, oh my goodness, I can't put any of this in. It is the ultimate show, don't tell, which is why I think learning to write screenplays is probably a very good skill, something I'm trying to learn more about. So anyway, really happy that, well, I'm going to get that done. I will have a draft in the next couple of days because I'm just going hard for a, quote, shitty first draft, as per Anne Lamott. And then I'm going on this editing weekend. So next Monday, I will tell you how that editing, screenplay editing weekend went. Also very cool. Very happy about that. So in publishing news this week, the big news was the latest author earnings report, which was fascinating and basically looked at how many authors are actually making money. It separates the author earnings into tax brackets. So, you know, up to $25,000 a year on Amazon, then up to $50,000 a year on Amazon, $100,000 a year and all the way up. And really interesting numbers. There are essentially over 1,000 indie authors making a living wage from Amazon sales alone. More than half of those are earning six figures or more. And it does go all the way up to seven figures, which, let's see, it looks like there are around 13 indie authors earning seven figures from Amazon sales alone, and from traditionally published authors, around 27. But what's interesting is that they split it into authors who debuted in the past century, past decade, and past 5 years. And of course, that the authors who debuted you know, before 10 years ago in traditional publishing, obviously make more money. They include people like Lee Child, Stephen King, Nora Roberts, J.K. Rowling, you know, all these people generally who are traditionally published. So, but then if you go to people who've debuted in the last 5 years, indie authors are making more money. So really, really interesting graphs. Highly recommend you check that out at authorearnings.com. And I think Passive Guy or the passivevoice.com, which is a great blog and always has good commentary on things, says... Passive Guy says, this author earnings report is devastating for traditional publishers, large and small. Why would any talented new author who is not entirely innumerate choose to begin a career with a traditional publisher? I actually think that the reason why a new author would choose is because most authors don't publish for money. And this is something I'm really coming to realise as I have a lot of friends in traditional publishing now. And, you know, a lot of them are not doing it for the money. It's that there's a lot more validation tied up in traditional publishing. So I've actually moved need for validation to my, I think, second chapter in the mindset book, because I think it's absolutely massive. So I think I'll talk about that another day, because it's a very... difficult topic for all of us to examine. You know, how do we get our validation in this market? Is it from readers? Is it from, you know, agents, editors, that type of thing, or from within ourselves, which would be the ideal, but is often hard to achieve. Okay, so that's the author earnings report, and very well timed, because I had already prepared my annual breakdown of book sales and was about to post it when the author earnings report came out. So I waited a day and posted it the next day. So basically, I've done 1 year's worth, because my tax year runs beginning of May to end of April each year. So I've just done my whole, and I'm not very good at doing figures during the year. I tend to do figures at the end of the year. I keep an eye on my finances, obviously, every month, but I don't look at sales figures and breakdown, because there's quite a lot of work involved in doing all of that. So I just do it per year. And last year I shared my breakdown, and this year I shared it too. So the blog post is, it's called Almost Six Figures, My Breakdown of 1 Year of Book Sales by Format, Vendor, Genre and Country, posted on June the 3rd, 2016. And I'll link to that in the show notes. But basically I go through my breakdown. I talk about the income for the company, which is doing very well, has almost tripled in the last year. But the report goes into specifics on book sales only. And I can absolutely give you figures because they are on the blog, so I might as well talk about them. So my total book sales income in US dollars, $95,000, and these are of course rounded figures, with a total book sales volume of 40,667 books sold, which does not include free books. So that those are actually books that made money, with price points ranging from $2.99 to $16.99. So those are actual books sold. So again, I'm not a breakout success. None of those books made number one on Amazon. None of them got in the top 100 on Amazon, in fact. And most of my books just sit there earning, you know, a few copies a week. So, you know, that figure of $95,000 for a year will be amazing to some people, and others will think that is not very much money at all. But that's why the author earnings report was very good, because what it because I was very worried about putting this out, to be honest, because it does, you know, it does make, it does sort of set me in a particular bracket for book sales. So I guess will put me in the 100,000 a year bracket for book sales, which essentially, I think there are, well, there are 1,340 authors earning $100,000 a year or more on Amazon sales. So, but what's interesting is my sales are broken down differently. So 46% is from Amazon KDP, 24% from Kobo, 16% Apple, 8% CreateSpace, 4% Nook, 2% Audible. So in total, Amazon has 56% of my book sales income. So I hope that's encouraging to people. And that's obviously Amazon, CreateSpace and Audible, or ACX together. So I'm really happy with this, because last year, Amazon's total percentage of my sales was 74%. This year, it's 56%, because I've actively grown Kobo and Apple sales. So very happy that split is kind of more healthy because, as I've said before, I don't believe in, having one sales platform dominate my income because, you know, just don't like being dependent on one company. It's a dangerous place to be. So if this is not your day job, then and all your income, then it's probably not a big deal. You know, if you only have one or two books and you have a proper job, then there's no problem being KDP Select and having your book sales income just from Amazon. But if you do this for a living, I think it's dangerous to have one company have that much power over your life. And then I break down by format. So 90% of my sales are ebook, 8% print, 2% audiobook. And audiobook is down this year and it is for many people, actually. I think the golden age of audiobook earnings for indies kind of happened. I think audiobook sales will continue to grow, but Audible itself has such sort of discounting that the income from audiobooks have dropped. My breakdown with fiction versus nonfiction is also really interesting. It is around 70% fiction, which makes sense because I have more fiction books. I have 9 full-length novels, 3 novellas, a short story series, 4 box sets. And then for nonfiction, I have 4 full-length books and 3 shorter books. So obviously, I have more fiction, so it makes more sense to earn more money that way. I've also done a split on fiction and nonfiction on the various platforms. I sell far more fiction at Apple and Kobo and Amazon. Audible, the nonfiction dominates, which is kind of crazy because I only have 1 nonfiction book on Audible, Business for Authors, the one I narrated myself. Amazon's kind of split, half and half. And I think partly Amazon has better sales of nonfiction than Apple and Kobo because Amazon is a search engine and my books are SEO book titles. Things like How to Market a Book come up even if people don't know who I am and don't listen to this show. So I hope that's interesting. Then by country, this is the first year I'm analysing this. I wanted to kind of get a stake in the sand as such. This is really interesting because I think most people assume that the majority of income is coming from the USA. But actually, my breakdown only using ebooks and also Amazon, Kobo and iBooks only, the USA sales account for 46%. Of my income, Canada 20%, UK 22%, Australia 7%, and then an other percentage of 4%, and that other contains 56 different countries this year. So I think that's really interesting because I had actually assumed myself that 80% of my income came from the US, but that's not true. It's 46%. So I hope that's interesting to people. And so I realize this intro is going on a bit, but I thought you guys would be interested in this split and compared to your own thing. So what accounts for the fact that my income doubled from book sales in the last year? Basically, I wrote books. So I wrote 3 full-length novels, just Deviance, Risen Gods, and Destroyer of Worlds. And of course, Risen Gods was co-written with Jay Thorne. And I wrote How to Make a Living with Your Writing, short nonfiction, which was listed on Inc.com as one of the top 100 business books in 2015. So that actually did sell a lot of books. Also have the co-writing book, Successful Self-Publishing, which is free, colouring book, which did not sell gazillions. It did not hit the zeitgeist, but still, all the trickles help. I also put out 4 box sets, the London Psychic box set, the second Arcane box set, and a 7 book Arcane box set, and a nonfiction box set. So all of these products together accounted for the doubling in sale. Then in terms of, we talk about marketing a lot on this show. So basically, I've continued doing what I always do and have also started doing some Facebook advertising as well, which we'll talk about in today's show. So just in terms of how I'm going to continue growing this, I will obviously write more books. I'm going to do more fiction merchandising on Kobo and Apple and also do more box sets. I'm going to write more nonfiction with SEO book titles. I'm going to actually start recording my own nonfiction audio and selling it direct, and also do more sell direct in general. And in fact, if you buy any books from my websites directly from me, you can get 10% off if you use promo code CREATIVE on checkout, and all my books, and there will be audiobooks and other things coming. So I'll use that code in the future as well. Right, so I hope you found that interesting. I just wanted to, talk about that. And you can find the breakdown and all the graphs on the show notes. And you can always find the show notes at thecreativepen.com/podcast. Now, as ever, I was pretty nervous about sharing those figures, but I had loads of comments about how useful it was to hear some numbers from someone who is basing their business on, you know, creating things and growing and not lightning strike success. We've seen some amazing lightning strike success. Obviously, people like Hugh Howey. This week in England, we've seen Adam Croft, who's been on the show before, who basically made something like 1.3 million in 3 months using Facebook ads with his book. That is a breakout success by anyone's standards. And, very exciting. We have lots of people whose sales are, that many people feel are out of their league. I feel that these people's sales are out of my league. but anyway, I hope those sales help you, because at the end of the day, I'm just a consistent creator with multiple books. And you don't need to strike, have a lightning strike or win the lottery in order to make a living. Okay, so thanks as ever for your emails and tweets. Here are a selection. Jennifer Sivek says, have been listening and I'm loving your podcast, hash new fan. Thank you, Jennifer. Nicole White, listening to the Lisa Congdon interview talking about creativity, sent me a lovely pic of the sunrise. Sedgwick, love this week's show. For my favourite cemeteries are Père Lachaise and Highgate. Definitely Père Lachaise in Paris is awesome, and Highgate is also awesome, although it's always full of tourists now. Lynn Milford, just came up for an idea for my book cover while listening to the podcast. Not sure what Joanna said, but it worked. Fantastic. Sometimes you just need to be thinking of other things, and then your creative brain will come up with stuff on the fly. Edwin Downward, listening to your visual writer episode the morning after commissioning a demo-sized 3D print of the ship in my stories. Now, I love this. Thanks, Edwin. And he sent me a picture. It looks awesome. Because we have an interview coming up with Kevin, who is a 3D printmaker. And so there is an episode on 3D printing in the queue. That will be in probably 2 or 3 weeks' time, but very excited about that. 3D printing is definitely something I want to be using as well. Amy Hopkins, pavement pounding with the creative pen, wishing I had that searchability or searchability, but that's another story. And that refers to the interview with Nancy when we were talking about researching. Kyle Vlosich, listening to the show while I sort clothes at my job. Hash am always writing. Yes, again, sorting clothes is one of those things you can definitely use to occupy your body while your brain does other things. Sandra Ann Turnbull, binging on the podcasts. I foresee many cups of tea this afternoon. Zanzibar 7, catching up on the podcast while plotting my book writing schedule. Sleep is for non-figments, which I thought was interesting. I presume you're writing some kind of sci-fi. Brittany Fichter, baby is sleeping, so I'm preparing to story grid the final book of my trilogy while listening. And also wanted to say a hello to Brian Burney, who is a researcher at the Vatican, and emailed me this week. And I always love hearing from the Vatican. And I actually have a Vatican researcher in Destroyer of Worlds, and he does meet a nasty end, but it wasn't based on you, Brian, so don't you worry. So thanks as ever for your emails and comments and tweets about listening to the show. I really love getting them, so please keep sending them. I also will like them on Twitter and follow back on Twitter, even if I don't read them out. And of course, you can email me, joanna@thecreativepen.com. Okay, so today's episode is sponsored by 99 Designs. You can get a power pack upgrade worth $99, which gives your project more chance of getting noticed by going to 99designs.com/Joanna, J-O-A-N-N-A. So on 99 Designs, you can get all kinds of designs for your author business, including book covers, merchandising, branding and business cards, illustrations, artwork and more. And today, instead of my own ad read, I have a cool email from author, speaker and golfer Richard E. Todd, who also tweets about the show, which I'm using with his permission. So thank you, Richard. Richard says, I used my Creative Pen PowerPack upgrade for 99 Designs to design my author business cards around the golf genre. I had tried myself for several months but couldn't get the look, feel or quality, so went to professionals. At first, I was disappointed as the vultures quickly descended with blah products within minutes of the project opening, looking for low-hanging fruit with nominal effort. But then the real artists showed up. It still took a couple of days before I saw amazing work, but with a few suggestions and guidance, I was provided with 5-star products. Overall, I received 104 drafts from 16 different artists, which gave me lots to consider. I also used the voting option to get some feedback from friends. I'm really happy with my decision to try 99 Designs and thrilled with my card design, which he attached, and it is awesome. Thanks for promoting the business, Richard. And you can find Richard at www.authorrichardetodd.com, and that's Todd with a double D. So you can get a Power Pack upgrade worth $99, which gives your projects, whether it's book covers, business cards or anything else, more chance of getting noticed by going to 99designs.com/Joanna, J-O-A-N-N-A. And of course, if you use the promo code, I would love for you to send me examples like this, and then we can spice up the ad read, and you never know, you might get some traffic as well. So this corporate sponsorship pays for the hosting and transcription, but my time in producing the show is primarily sponsored by you guys. So a big thank you to all the people supporting on Patreon. Thanks especially to new patron Amy Canaday and Tess Manchester. I really do appreciate your support on Patreon. Like the tweets and emails, it really demonstrates you enjoy the show and want it to continue. And you can support the show for less than a coffee a month if you go to patreon.com, patreon.com/thecreativepen, and you'll get the extra monthly Q&A audio. Okay, let's get on with the interview on Facebook ads. Hi everyone, I'm Joanna Penn from thecreativepen.com and today I'm here with Mark Dawson. Hi Mark.
Hello Jo, how are you?
I'm good and welcome back on the show. And just a little introduction for anyone who doesn't know you. Mark is an internationally best-selling thriller author with the John Milton and the Beatrix Rose series and other books. And he also shares his knowledge with authors at selfpublishingformula.com and has a fantastic course on Facebook advertising for authors. And today we're going to talk a lot about Facebook advertising, which is just, you know, really interesting. But let's start with, Mark, you were on the show last in June 2015, almost a year ago. Time flies, but just give us an update on what's been happening for you over the last year creatively.
So yeah, that's a good question, because I suppose it is easy for people to think that I do Facebook ads courses and not much else. But my main focus, if you said to me today you've got a choice of two things, you can either be a teacher or a writer, I would always choose to be a writer. That's always been my passion. And things have gone amazingly well since we spoke last time. I mean, it's probably too many things have happened for me to cover all of them. But in terms of the kind of the highlight points, I'll continue to release books quite regularly. So my last one was out last Friday, actually, as we record this. It's been out for about a week, and it's called The Jungle in my John Milton series, and it's been my most successful launch. I got to number 2 worldwide on Apple. Hit the top 100 on Amazon, the top 50 amazon.co.uk. Been really, really amazing, really the best launch I've ever had. I've got another one out next month with Thomas and Mercer, so that's a book that I wrote. I probably submitted that to them January or February this year. That's in my Isabella Rose series. So that's coming out, and I've been busy all the time, and I'm still keeping up a fairly active publication schedule, churning books out at a reasonably good pace. And then kind of beyond that, I've had a lot of success with books going to Audible. So Audible Studios records my books for me. They buy them in a kind of a traditional fashion and then put those out. And then bubbling away in the background, I can't remember if this was happening when we spoke last time, but I've had a very big Hollywood producer option one of my series. And there's only so much I can say about that because it's mostly confidential, but there's been a very well-known director is attached to the project now, and they're in the process of trying to find a screenwriter to adapt the books so that they can take it to the next stage. So that's kind of a 2 or 3 minute run around what I've been doing, apart from courses on Facebook ads.
Yeah, and I think it's really important, and I guess you know, a lot of the stuff, the reason why you've done ads and yourself and then also teach others is because that's partly what you've used to get your platform and your sort of readership up to the point where you can do these things. So I think this is the point that we've got to remember. But let's, you know, just so everyone knows, how many books do you have out there right now? So you're not just a new author, are you?
No, the Milton book that was out on Friday was the ninth in the series with two novellas. There are 3 Beatrix Rose books, 2 Isabella Rose books, 3 another 5 or 6 novellas across both series, 2 traditionally published books from way back when, and 2 novels in a kind of a noir series that I started self-publishing with back 5 years ago. So probably in total must be around about 25 now.
Yeah, so and that's another really important point to go into this is, you know, the more books you have, obviously the better the books will be because you're a better writer, but also the more ability you have to do marketing, whatever type of marketing it is, because, you know, you can do change prices and that type of thing. And also, it's great that you mentioned Apple, you mentioned Audible, and we're going to talk a bit about the different, it's not just about Amazon, is it? Although I know you signed with Thomas and Mercer as well, but, you know, you're also cross-platform at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't for ages. I was exclusive to Amazon. I did really well in Kindle Unlimited. I got all sub bonuses when they started out. I got several of those, which was great. I mean, for my ego and also for the bank balance, it was quite nice to get an extra few thousand dollars. But I love Amazon. They've changed my life completely. But I'm a bit like you, kind of I'm kind of predisposed against exclusivity. I like to have my eggs spread around several baskets. So I made a big push over the last 12 months or so to start to foster relationships with the guys at Apple, and they've been amazing. Kobo too. Obviously, Kobo is a great company to work with. I've had a lot of fun working with them. And even, you know, for us in the UK, not quite so easy to get to Barnes & Noble, but Dan Wood at Drafted Digital has made big strides on my behalf, and I hit their number one spot on Barnes & Noble with a book 6 months or so ago. So it's been a very deliberate strategy to go a little wider to make it easier for readers on all devices to get my stuff. And that has benefited me quite a lot now, because I think about 1/4 of my income comes from non-Amazon sources now, which is quite a nice situation to be in.
Yeah, that's great. I think mine would probably be, probably 20-25% at this point. Mm. And I would love to get to 50-50, you know, you kind of think like that would, you know, spread across everybody else. And, you know, this is the point, we're in this for the long haul. So all of these things work together. You also mentioned deliberate strategy there. And this is something I am very organized, and I write nonfiction books on being organized and things, but you have taught me a lot about deliberate strategy, because I find you a very focused person who doesn't just, you know, try loads and loads of different things. You've been very focused with your career, which is why I think you're so successful. But I wanted to just, you know, kind of talk about strategy around marketing in general, because in my experience, there are two broad types of marketing. So attraction marketing, which is you pull people towards you with, say, free books or, you know, things that are cost time but not money. And then interruption marketing, which is mainly advertising, which you have to pay for, which costs money, not necessarily years and years of time. So how do you personally balance attraction marketing options with the interruption marketing?
I think I originally, so if you say I've been self-publishing for about 5 years, which is round about the right amount of time, for about the first half of that, it would have been all attraction marketing. So it would have been putting out more books. That's the most obvious cliched piece of advice, but it's completely true. It would be fostering relationships with readers as they email and comment in, building up a social media platform, all those kinds of things. I was concentrating on, especially focusing on mailing lists and getting people onto the list, all that kind of thing. And then about 2.5 years ago, I discovered Facebook advertising, and everyone, well, lots of people will know that how how big an effect that's had on my career. I was doing quite well before that point with the, you know, I built a solid platform, good foundations to build on. But then going into the paid advertising marketplace took me from being a quite good seller to being a very good seller. And I think you need, as you say, you need to balance both. Just doing one is probably not going to be, I think you could probably start with attraction marketing. I think that that's completely fine to start like that. Build up your platform, get yourself into a position where you can, you can start to benefit from activating kind of paid ads and that kind of stuff. And then from that stage on, it's something that you can run in conjunction with one another.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the best, you know, the best idea is to run them together. And I think, you know, obviously a perma-free first in series is something that both of us talk about and use, and advertising that first in series can be a good way to get people into your series. So I think just importantly to say up front, they both are good. But let's just get into Facebook ads. So we're going to get into some detailed stuff for anyone who's an expert or not an expert. For anyone who's already tried, we're going to go into a whole load of new stuff. But for anyone who's just starting or considering it, why are Facebook ads so powerful for authors with a budget to invest?
Okay, so they're powerful for lots of different reasons. I mean, it's when we first spoke about this a year ago, it was much more open. There weren't as many people advertising on Facebook. And then partly because of my own fault, as I've taught, I've taught quite a few people how to do it since then. There's more competition now, but I get this question quite a lot. People say, has the time passed where Facebook advertising is effective? Well, the answer to that is an unequivocal, absolutely not. It's still very early on in the piece for authors to be advertising on Facebook. And yeah, there are over a billion people on the platform and their check-in rates are very high. So it's still a very live platform and very good for advertising. But the reason it works so well is because it has the most powerful targeting options available. Facebook knows almost everything about us, and if you're on the platform, it's always noting what you're doing, what you like, what it thinks you like, all that kind of good stuff. And in exchange for you paying to use that platform to advertise, it provides all that information to you. So on a kind of a super basic level, you could send an ad, and I'm talking for you now, Joe, you could send an ad targeting James Rollins' fans, knowing that there's a very good chance that they like his kind of books, they're also going to like J.F. Penn books. Because you know all that information, it's not a cold audience. You can make certain assumptions with regards to what they like. You can then craft your copy accordingly. It makes it so much easier than the old kind of analog, you know, the example from the offline world where you put a billboard up and you'd hope to attract attention from everyone who goes past. This time you can be very focused, very laser precise, and the conversion rates or the sales generated by that ad tend to be much more significant than would otherwise be the case.
Yeah, and I just wanted to comment on the is it too late to do Facebook advertising? Because people say the same thing, is it too late to self-publish? And it's like, no, it's like one of those, when should you plant a tree, you know, today or 20 years ago, obviously, or today. But I was one of the reasons, and I've had an issue, personal issue with Facebook for years. I love Twitter. I'm not a Facebook person. But in the last year, you are responsible for turning me around. But actually, another thing convinced me, and that was Facebook and Oculus Rift. Now, Facebook are not just Facebook company anymore. They are investing in the future of what I believe will be the internet. If the internet is going to be virtual reality and Facebook own Oculus, then they have a future in whatever the other tech is going to be. They're also investing in bringing the internet to the developed world, the developing world. So I'm now more of a believer in Facebook as a future, even if it may not be the system that we see right now. It will be something else. So I definitely believe in longevity. So that's one thing. So the other thing is, I guess, what are the ways that authors, what are just a kind of a list of ways that people can use Facebook advertising? Because it's not just send an advert to a book page, is it?
No, there's lots of different ways. I mean, I kind of break it down into two strands. But even before we get into those strands, I'd say there are some kind of basic things that people need to do. So it's have a Facebook page rather than just a Facebook profile.
Yeah.
So the profile is where your friends and family would share pictures of cats. And the the page is like your business presence with your author career. So make sure that is kind of optimized. It looks good. Get a nice banner image. There are you should certainly link out from the banner image to, say, your MailChimp landing page, because you'll get a lot of, I'll probably add another 5 or 10 new readers a day, just from people who just drift onto the page and decide they'd like the free books. But once you've got all that sorted out, There are two kind of main ad objectives as I see them. So the first one is using ads to build your mailing list, and the second one is using ads to drive sales. And you can decide to run one or run both, depending on where you are in your career. So for new authors with one book, my view on this is start concentrating on building your mailing list, so that when you're then ready to release your second book, you've got a warm audience. You'd be fairly confident that you'll get some sales straight off the bat, which means that Amazon will notice a bit more readily, will start to market for you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then repeat that, because it gets more powerful every time you release something. Then when you've got some stuff to sell, then look at using ads to sell directly to readers who you think will be interested in your books. And there's no reason why they need to be separate. I run those variations of those campaigns all the time. Mm. I spend quite a lot on Facebook ads. I mean, probably $250,000 this year.
But we're not advising that for anyone else.
No, absolutely not. And that's another question I get quite a lot. People saying, how I can't afford that. I'm not going to do Facebook ads because I just can't put that budget in. The answer to that is I didn't start with $250,000. I started with one ad for $5 a day. Mm. And then that made money quite almost immediately. And I reinvested that money back into other ads. And then when I could see that it was something that was sustainable, then I invested a bit more and a bit more. And, you've had Adam Croft on the show before. Adam is probably the student of the course who's done best in terms of sales ads. And that's exactly what he did. He started slow and then gradually scaled up. And to the extent that as he was doing so well towards the end, he was maxing out credit cards to kind of fund ads. And we're not advising that.
We're not advising that either. But yeah, he had the figures to show that he would get the money in 60 days time. But that's the difference, isn't it? The Facebook money goes out of your account quite regularly, whereas you get the money from the other platforms after a period of time.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's what I'd say. I mean, definitely they can and perhaps should be run in conjunction. But for newbies, I'd say just concentrate on low budget ads. The minimum is $5 a day, and start to build your mailing list, because there's no two ways about it. That will be your most valuable marketing asset for your author career.
Yeah. Okay. So I have a question on this. And I kind of feel a little embarrassed asking this because it's so basic. And I do a lot of advertising, actually. And as this goes out, I had a blog post that basically lists out all the different advertising I'm doing. Now, my Creative Pen page has quite a big audience. It's very easy to advertise to that audience. Nonfiction in general, I think, is easier than fiction. So I'm finding that's great. And I can use the audience insights to discover the other pages, who to advertise to, who to target. For my fiction site, and I think a lot of people listening will be in this situation, for a fiction page, your audience insights are either non-existent or not very good if you have a low number of likes on the page.
For your own page?
Yeah, for the, say for the JF Pen page, up until recently, I only had like 1,000 people because I didn't even concentrate on it. And how Facebook works, obviously, the more people that they get liking a certain page, the more information they know about those people. Therefore, the more you can use the audience insights to work out who to target. Because as you said, I can say, yeah, my books are like James Rollins. People who like Stephen King will like my books. But there's so much more potentially I can find, like people who like tattoos or graveyards or, that type of thing. So what I've now started to do is actually use the $5 a day idea to try and get likes. So actually target the other authors to get likes in order to build the insights on my page. Now, and that, as you say, that's trickling through into mailing list signups. Now, I feel like this is a really basic strategy, but is that a way that you, like, if someone's just, if someone has a Facebook page with 5 people on it, probably their mum and some mates, is that the best way to start actually building an audience on a page?
No, I wouldn't do that, actually.
That's why I said I'm embarrassed asking.
I wouldn't. Advertising for likes is something I know why you're doing it.
Yeah, to get the reporting.
Yeah, I think there are other ways to do it that won't cost you any money at all. But $5 a day for likes, that would be something that would have been very effective 2 years ago when Facebook's organic reach was higher. Mm-hmm. By which I mean, if you do for those who don't know, if you do a post onto your Facebook page, the reach is how far through all of your fans that will go. And it used to be about 50 or 60%. Now it's about 1% because Facebook is a pay-to-play platform now. So you're absolutely right. The audience insights tab is really useful for digging out information on people on Facebook, potential audience members, people you could target with ads. And I've got 20,000 likes on my page, and I don't come up either when I search myself as in audience insights. And the reason for that is Facebook's indexing is a bit spotty, so it doesn't pick up everybody. And it doesn't really matter whether I've got 1,000 or 20,000 or 100,000. Some people just won't turn up. So if I was in your shoes, what I would do is focus on James Rollins's page and then branch out from there find out who likes that.
Yeah, I'm not looking for me to turn up. I'm looking, I want the reporting on people who like JF Penn so that I can work out who else to target other than James Rollins. So I am advertising to James Rollins. I am advertising to Stephen King for lists and sales. But I also want to know what else I might find out about those people. So other than obviously polling your mailing list, how else do you find out where your fiction audience will be? So I am very cross-genre. My books are difficult because they sit between supernatural and thriller, but they're not paranormal. If only I could just write in a blooming genre. So this is why I'm using it. It's kind of like I want to get more information through the insights. So I guess it's a slightly weird situation, but I just thought I would mention it. So, it's not for me to appear on anybody's list.
Yes.
Yeah, to get organic reach with any kind of stuff. It literally is to try and work out what people who like me also like.
I think you may find that even if you build up a big number of likes on your page, you may still not come up when you search yourself. And that's just because Facebook is as I say, is a little bit, I don't know what the reason for that. I have asked Facebook a couple of times why that isn't comprehensive, and it just, you don't just get a great answer out of that. Just
so,
isn't.
So does that mean people can't target you?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it's great. I don't want to come up, really.
Yeah, but of course you share everybody you target, and people, well, a lot of it, and people have been, poaching your likes. Have you noticed that your advertising costs have gone up?
Yes. They have, yeah. I mean, not to the extent that it's not profitable for me to do ads anymore. I used to, when I started doing this, I would have been one of the first authors to get into this, and I was probably turning around 200 or 300% return every day, which is ridiculous. If you think about that for a minute, it's ridiculous. So to make that huge profit, I probably make 50% now, which is still absolutely amazing. Certainly not something to be taken lightly, but yeah, it is. I see a lot of people targeting Lee Child fans now, often with the exact copy I use. Yeah.
I've seen that too. Can we just talk about that return on investment? Because I think this is really important. Okay, I have done a lot of ads and I have basically failed most of the time. Like I've had a bit of time where I've had, positive ROI. But I think I don't want people to obsess over that, because actually we pay for marketing. I don't know why anyone would expect to make money from marketing, especially if it's a new book launch or, there are lots of things where you wouldn't ever expect to make a positive ROI. And in fact, most people are happy if they do a book bub, they're happy if they break even. Or if you're advertising a free book, you're expecting to have a sell through to the rest in series. So is that an incorrect obsession that people should expect to make money out of their ads?
I mean, people do. I mean, typically people do make money out of ads. But I'm so glad to hear you say that, because it's very, that's a very savvy comment. And people do come to me and say, I'm not making any money back on these ads. And I'm thinking, well, just look for a minute at how far your ad went. How many eyeballs were exposed to that ad? And they'll come back and say, all right, so it's about 200,000. And then think, how much would it cost in the real world to get that kind of, if you're doing a media buy, how much would it cost to get that kind of branding out there? It would be tens of thousands of dollars. And maybe it cost you, $10 a day for 3 weeks, or, you know, something like that. There are lots of different benefits from advertising. Brand awareness is a great one. I mean, sales is a great one too. If you can get an ad that is returning positive, is making you a positive return on investment, fantastic. Keep doing it. Spend more. But there are lots of different benefits. You know, you also get likes. I mean, my page, when I started doing this, I'd spent with a friend. He works in Facebook advertising. We did $500 and I went from like 150 likes to 500, and I thought that was a big success. But since I've been doing that, I probably add a, you know, 50 to 100 a day now as a byproduct of advertising for sales. And that's why my list is, my page is much bigger now. And then that opens up all kinds of other benefits. So one thing we might touch on later is things like live video. Mm. So now when I do a live video to my fans, I'm getting massive reach, and it enables me to, at scale, convert potential readers into real readers, then into fans and friends, and, you know, and all the positive benefits that flow from that kind of thing.
Yeah, so just on the positive ROI then, both you and I sell a single author box set with multiple books in. So I've got a 7-book box set that I only sell on Kobo and iBooks, and I will also be selling directly from my website that we can't put on Amazon because of the $9.99 cap on 70% royalty. So that would be an example of somewhere where presumably, and I'm not doing ads to that right now, but I think you are, aren't you? That would be how much more can you risk if you have a higher profit, basically?
Yeah, I mean, you could work the maths out. So we're not going to do the maths right now because I'm not very good at maths on the fly like that. But if you've got, say, a box that I was selling for $25 on Kobo, so 70% of 25 is around about 19 or 20, isn't it? Something like that. So once you work at how much your clicks, how much it's costing you to get a click onto that page, you just it's a simple division to work out how often you need to make a sale in order to cover the cost of the ad. And because the royalty is so much higher, you can have many more clicks before you need to make a sale. So I'm doing very well on Kobo with that, probably making between 50 and 60% on that $25 item, which is quite, you know, that's not an impulse purchase for most people. The conversion percentage is much, much lower than it would normally be, but it doesn't matter so much because I'm making more money when I do sell one.
Yeah, and we should just say that you can target people, say, in Canada who like Kobo. And who also like Lee Child,
yep,
with that box set, right? Are you only doing that in Canada for Kobo?
Yes, at the moment, just because there's only so many hours in the day. I mean, I would like, it's available on Apple too, so I should definitely, it would work on Apple too. I should definitely be sending ads to Apple for that box set too, but it's just a question of, you know, juggling stuff right now.
Yeah, so, and we should also say that, of course, you can send people directly to the sales page on the site. But of course, if you don't, if you do that, you won't know who they are. So there's kind of pros and cons of doing either way. But just also on audiobooks, because this is something I haven't done yet. But of course, if you advertise audiobooks, you can potentially get, obviously, revenue, but also bounty, which, you know, if you convert somebody new, are you seeing positive results with advertising audio?
I'm starting to get into that. I mean, several of my students are doing really well, and I had a very good tip from a writer, Mark Cooper, who I think is a listener to the show. And what has just happened in the States with audible.com is they enable you now to gift audiobooks that you own, and I don't, the kind of economics behind this make no sense to me whatsoever, apart from the fact that Audible is spending a lot of money to get new listeners.
Yeah.
You gift them, say I've got one of your books, I could gift that to 15 of, actually I could advertise it on Facebook. You have that individual link, and every one of those, I think up to 100 that is kind of downloaded by one of, you know, a potential new listener, you get a full royalty on that. So it's kind of one of the situations which is like money for nothing at the moment. So
yeah, it's madness. And it's funny you say it, because I actually bought my own audiobook on Audible so that I can do that. And I've been holding back because I feel like it feels like gaming the system. But as you said, I think it's very short term. I think they're going to, you know, like they did with the high royalties at the beginning to get people on ACX, I think they will change this. So everybody take advantage of this right now. but what about, what about targeting people? Do people say they like audiobooks or say they like Audible, that type of thing? Is that the targeting you would do?
Yeah, that's the obvious one is to use Audible as the target. So people who indicate they like Audible or audiobooks generally, there's lots. If you can think of a place where people who like audiobooks hang out, there's a fairly good chance you'll be able to target them either directly on Facebook or kind of by clever indirect means. And it's just a question of getting the ad out to those kinds of people and then hoping that it's effective and people start to click on it.
Yeah, and then obviously a lot of non-fiction authors in particular, but also fiction authors like yourself, are doing courses now. And personally, I have found that the return on investment will usually come from advertising higher priced things like courses or even live events. So, you know, I guess one of my questions around that is, if I'm advertising, let's say, a webinar with you, perhaps, that we will mention towards the end, is it best to set up a Facebook event and then advertise the event, or is it better to send it to external traffic, or both? Say, and this would work whether you're doing a webinar, say a book launch, say a live workshop that will cost money.
Okay, for a webinar, I think if you send them to an event, I mean, what you really want is people to have registered for the event so that they can be notified when it starts, all that kind of good stuff. And I've never tried to advertise it by way of an event, but my kind of instinctive response to that would be you've got to get their email address, and Facebook won't necessarily give that to you. So for me, anyway, I would always advertise the webinar and then advertise the registration page. That would be the link that people click to. They then fill out the link, and at that stage you have the email address. You control that interaction rather than relying on Facebook to do it for you.
But for a book launch, would it an online book party, it would make sense to advertise an online event?
Yeah, and that's when I did that. Like last week, I did set up an event for the book launch, and then I advertised that not with ads though, but with live video. So I was you get really fantastic reach at the moment with video because Facebook is competing to be the place where video is consumed in competition with YouTube, and so you can get views on your video ads at like 1 or 2 cents per view right now. So. So that's on ads, but then with live video, which we can touch on, is something that has only recently been rolled out for everybody. I've had it for about a year, and it's always been very effective. But what you do is you basically open a post, and then you look down the bottom. There's, you know, you can write a post, you can leave a picture, post a video, or do live video. And it's just like Periscope, which is something else that I've been using before. It enables you to live broadcast to everyone on your page. And the reach is, instead of perhaps being 1 or 2%, it could be like 50% reach. It's very effective.
Yeah, okay. So I have just had an email saying that my Creative Pen page is activated for Facebook Live, but I haven't had that for my fiction page. So I wonder whether that is a function of page size.
I don't know. I'd just say check to see whether it's been switched on and it hasn't. You haven't been notified. Just open a message and see if you can do it. I think it's global now, but maybe it's being incrementally rolled out. But it's certainly coming.
Yeah. So okay. So I got this email and I'm like, oh, I don't like doing live stuff. I mean, this is pre-recorded. Well, we're recording this obviously live together, but I don't usually do live stuff, and we do webinars together, but I do find it difficult to do this kind of live stuff. So, and I know many authors do as well. So do you have any tips for Facebook Live?
For context here, I mean, we're all introverts. When I was like 15, I wouldn't make phone calls because I was terrified.
I still don't like doing phone calls.
There you go. So, I mean, it's just a question of exposure and practice. So I'm not natural. This doesn't come naturally to me. But the more you do it, the more easy you'll be with it. So I did this launch party on Saturday for about 90 minutes, and I had all of my fans, or lots and lots of my fans, turned up, like over 1,000 over the course of the hour. And it went much wider than that in terms of the shares and you know, people coming to see it as a recorded thing after the event. And it's just wonderful to, you know, you're saying to people, like, ask me anything about my books. And I was getting only questions about my writing, my, you know, my characters. We did a live giveaway. So I had I kind of hold it up for the live, for people who are watching on YouTube. Amazon got me to inscribe a Kindle at London Book Fair. So I gave that away. It was fantastic. It's very difficult to find that awkward when everyone is on your side and is, you know, wants to know about the stuff that you love. So I'm a really big fan of that. And for people who might be nervous of it, it's just a question of gird your loins and just try it, see how you get on.
So you start the post and you turn the video on, and then you say, okay, does anyone have like any questions? And then you see the questions come up.
Yeah,
and then great. You can answer them. Yeah, well, I do want to commit to doing this. So everyone listening on the podcast, I definitely want to do this. Come and join the Creative Pen page. And I know I want to do it, and it sounds much easier. And I'm going to be doing more Q&A on YouTube, where I have a more established channel. But it does seem like a good idea. So, but let's just talk about Facebook advertising with video, because I did a video ad for Destroyer of Worlds for my latest launch, and the views were much cheaper, but the conversions were not as good as the static page. So do book buyers really watch videos? Is that normal? You know, it turned out that the conversion was much more expensive, even though it seemed to have a higher reach. So is it more for brand building than actual sales? And what are your recommendations for book sales with video?
Okay, so I mean, it is, I would say, yeah, brand building and also audience building, because there's a little tick box you can tick on the ad. This is going to be a little bit technical, but on the ad level, when you're doing your Facebook ad, you can tick a box that says build an audience of people who watch the video. So Facebook will then present you with an audience of people who started to watch it but didn't finish, and then people who watched all the way through. And then you can start to serve ads to those people. So if they watched all the way through, they'll at least, they should remember you, which is, right. is a good start. And then you can build lookalike audiences. So Facebook will try and assemble bigger audiences of people who it thinks look like those people. So that's very valuable in itself. I do find there's a general point, the conversion is lower for video. And I think I have a suspicion it might be because people viewing trailers are comparing them with film trailers. Mm. And with all the will in the world, and with even with big budgets, we're never going to be able to, if I was writing a superhero novel, it's not going to look as good as the trailer for the Avengers movie, right?
Or Superman, just, or whatever. No.
Exactly. It's better than Superman. That's terrible. But it's very difficult for us to compare with that. So I don't think they're great for sales. I think they're very, very good for subscription campaigns. So one thing I do at the moment is it's literally me looking into the camera like I'm doing now, or get my iPhone out and record myself with a decent mic, just hold up a copy of a book that I'm giving away, introduce myself, say, I'm Mark Dawson, I'm the author of the John Milton series. And if you'd like the first book in the series for free, just click the ad and give me your email address and I'll send it to you. I run those campaigns at like $10 or $15 a day, and I'm adding between 25 and 35 subscribers every day. Mm. Completely passive. There's no high production values. It's just me in a room.
To your email, so they're email-less. Are they like lead gen, so you get a download?
You can do them as lead gen, or just generally as clicks to your website or to your landing page. It doesn't really matter. They work both ways, work quite well. So we do video ads for the course, the self-publishing formula course. So people, listeners in this space, there's a fairly good chance they would have seen those ads, because trust me, I'm trying to target you. Different ways to find people who are interested in the kind of things that I'm talking about. So that works very well. So just running those kinds of videos. The video is hot, but don't expect masses of sales straight off the video. But it's great for awareness and subscriptions, things like that.
Mm. Now, we can talk forever, actually, because I have so many questions on this. But I do want to ask you, what are the most common mistakes that you see with people jumping into the ad space?
Okay, common mistakes people just starting to advertise. Some of them will be familiar from mistakes that the authors generally make. So maybe not having a pro image, or at least a reasonably pro image. Don't try and do an image in Paint. It won't work. And you can get your designer to do an image for you, probably as part of the actual cover process, for not much more. So when I get a cover done, I have a suite of 10 to 15 images that my designer Stuart does for me, that I'm then able to roll out on Facebook ads, Twitter ads, Facebook banners, MailChimp, all that kind of good stuff is covered off. So definitely look at that. I occasionally see authors who have an ad that works quite well at a low budget get greedy. And so they might have a $5 a day budget, and then they'll go, I know, I'll jump up to $50 a day. Now, I had a good chat with your husband about this, and he knows much more about data than I'll ever know. And he understands how algorithms work. And so he had a very good explanation of why that can confuse Facebook's algorithm, which sounded, it was very credible from my perspective. And I've seen this happen many times before in practice. So I would say if you've got an ad that's working reasonably well, then scale carefully. So five to then go up to $10, then maybe 15, then 20, then maybe 30. Just do it gradually. Don't get too greedy or the algorithm can make the ad stop working. And just treat it professionally, test your copy. You've got to do a lot of testing. I occasionally, well, quite often, students will say, this just isn't working. I've tried an ad, no success. Facebook ads don't work. And then recently I've had a couple of emails from people who were struggling early doors, and I didn't hear anything else from them. And then like 6 months later, they've come back and said, I just want to let you know, I've continued at this and I've been testing. And it's kind of like, the veil has been lifted, and they're suddenly finding tremendous success with ads. I mean, Adam, who we mentioned earlier, didn't have success right out the gate. No, he had to iterate it. Mm-hmm. And he's projecting to make over $1 million from one book this year through ads. So, be patient. That's important, and professional, and just be prepared to put in a bit of work, because it doesn't come easy, but then all good things need a bit of work, don't they?
Yeah. And I think that's the thing. And it's certainly taken, I've been talking to you about this for probably 18 months, and there's lots I'm still not doing because I have this reticence and issue around Facebook that every time we talk, I'm like, I must just get over it. And I am running ads, but I'm not running as many as I probably should be or could be. So anyone who's kind of feeling that same thing as I am, then, I'm definitely, every time we talk, I'm like, I commit to doing more, and I am going to do more. And I still feel like it seems to be the best. Like, I've also tried Twitter advertising because I have a very big Twitter platform. Mm-hmm. And actually what I've ended up doing instead of using Twitter ads, which I just didn't find massive return on, is I'm using Meet Edgar, which is a scheduling tool, mm-hmm. with my content. And I'm actually getting a much better return on just using scheduling as opposed to advertising on Twitter. But it's very different on Facebook, I think. So, yeah, I think in terms of attention and which platform to focus on, it does still seem to be the best one. So obviously people listening to this will not be able to see anything, and we haven't, done a kind of live Facebook broadcast, but we are going to do two free webinars. And the reason we're doing two is because last time we did one, we kind of blasted it out the water and we had oversubscription. So we've got two. So just for people watching and listening, you can go to thecreativepen.com/Facebook1 for Sunday, 5th of June, 2016 at 3 p.m. US Eastern, 8 p.m. UK. So that's thecreativepen.com/Facebook1. And then we're doing another one on Thursday, 9th of June, same time. And that's thecreativepen.com/Facebook2. And I'll put the links on the video and in the show notes of the podcast. And what are you going to be showing us in that webinar, Mark?
We'll do some kind of some basic stuff on how to optimize your Facebook ads. We'll probably do, this was quite fun the last time we did it, I kind of did a live, yeah, trusting my rural internet connection holding up for 5 minutes, as it did last time. It's just to kind of show people how easy it is to do a lead generation ad, and you can literally do it in 5 minutes. I timed myself doing that. So we'll do that again probably. Mm. And we'll have as long as people want, we'll do a Q&A, which is quite fun. So we can answer any questions on social media advertising, Facebook, Twitter, we're doing YouTube now as well. So anything like that, we can cover all those things.
I know you're doing YouTube advertising because you appeared on my channel. You're targeting my channel with your ads.
Yep.
I was like, Jonathan was doing it, and he goes, what's Mark doing on our channel? So yes, you can, this is a really good thing. And of course, you have a course, Facebook Ads for Authors. What can people find within that course?
Everything. I at the moment I'm in the process of revising it, adding a lot of new stuff, but it's kind of a Facebook Ads 101 course. And we've had I don't know, over well over 1,000 people, 1,000 authors have taken the course. The first module is about kind of general principles. Second module is about how to use ads to build your mailing list. The third module is about how to use ads to make direct sales. It's been a lot of fun to do that. We've had all kinds of amazing stories of people who've been in and taken the course. So I'm looking forward to getting that out there again. We don't make it available very often because demand has been quite high, and I'm very conscious to make sure that I can help as many people as I can. And if it was open all the time, I think I wouldn't write anything. And, yeah. and that's my focus is still to write. But for a couple of times a year, we do open the course, and I'm helping people as much as I can to make this work.
Yeah, and as part of the course, you have two Facebook groups, don't you? One for just general, anyone can join, and then another one which is people in the course only. And I'm in there, and people post their ads and get comments, and you're often in there saying maybe try this, maybe try that. People post their results, and it's a very kind of good professional level course where you can still ask stupid questions.
Yeah,
you know, like I probably still do. But that's very good. And if people listening, you can find the course Facebook Ads for Authors at thecreativepen.com/Facebook Fun. And that is my affiliate link to Mark's course. So you can use that link if you like. So you also now have a podcast. Why in hell did you start a podcast, and where can people find that?
I'm loving that. I mean, we're recording this today, and I was on the call for an hour and a half with BookBub last night, which was great. I haven't heard BookBub on a podcast before, so that was really great to speak to them. And it's just great to speak to other authors. And I think you exemplify this, but it's such a friendly and cooperative environment, and it is nice to be able to bring useful content to people in a format that's fun to consume and actually also quite fun to make. And I can say that with the benefit of not being the one who doesn't make it. I mean, my colleague James is an ex-radio DJ, and he's very good at that kind of thing. And so I just basically show up when he tells me to and waffle on for a bit. James makes it sound nice, and then we put it out. So yeah, people can find that. It's at selfpublishingformula.com. We have a podcast every Friday, which has been real fun.
Yeah, and I think actually you mentioning James is really good, and there's John as well as part of your team. And so if people wondering how you get everything done, what you're actually doing is collaboration. So even though you don't collaborate on your writing, do you? You write yourself and you don't co-write with anyone, but you collaborate on these other things and then you split the revenue. So this is a really great principle that I think all indies need to be thinking about going forward is that's why I hate the word self-publishing. We don't self-publish. We don't do all this ourselves, right? We work with other people, and that's how we get stuff done. We use other professionals, and that's what we do. So I love that you're collaborating with other people, because as someone who also does courses, it can be way too much work and you don't get any writing done. So yeah, I mean, collaboration is a whole nother podcast, so we'll do that another time. Okay. Oh, and then we should just say, where can people find your fiction and your Milton books and that type of thing?
Yeah, that's and all good bookstores. But markjdawson.com is my kind of online home, and people can see how I run subscription campaigns, and they can look at the books, and there's a good place to get in touch with me as well.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for your time, Mark. That was great.
Thanks, Drew.
Thanks for listening today, and I hope you found this interview useful. And remember, you can join us for a free webinar this Thursday, 9th of June 2016 at 3 p.m. US Eastern, 8 p.m. UK, if you want to learn how you can use Facebook marketing to grow your email list and sell more books. Go to thecreativepen.com/Facebook2. And if you're listening to this before the 12th of June 2016, you can check out Mark's course at thecreativepen.com/Facebook Fun. And that is only open for a week. Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You might also like the backlist episodes at thecreativepen.com/podcasts. You can also get your free Author 2.0 blueprint at thecreativepen.com/blueprint. If you'd like to connect, you can tweet me at The Creative Pen or find me on Facebook at The Creative Pen. See you next time.